Hey, Project Zion podcast listeners, this is Blake Smith, project manager for Project Zion podcast. In today's Fair Trade episode, you'll hear part two of the conversation between host Robin Linkhart and guest Matt Robertson. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, so you have done this really hard theological deconstruction in the midst of all of this. You know, that's just one facet. And you've done the hard work. Nancy Ross talks about coming to another faith and coming to Community of Christ is you don't just go from one edge of the deep valley to the other. It's not an aerial transport. She said, you have to go all the way down into the depths of the dark valley and deconstruct it all. And then you come back up on the other side with this reconstruction. So you have, that's kind of where you are as you talk about it as being atheist humanist and then sharing the beauty of Heather's journey and how she is navigating that and finding value and worth and meaning and purpose as she continues to stay active in ward life. And she's doing ministry, right? She is bringing sacred ministry to people. Okay, so now we want to hear about, you know, how did you find Community of Christ? What did that look like?
Yeah. So I should mention just to, because I forget to add this, that this was the time that I've been talking about was also the time that I became a teacher. It became obvious that business was not working. I actually said to Heather at one point, like, I just need to get out of this job. It's not working. Why don't I go back to school and get an MBA, and then I'll be in a position to get better jobs. And Heather was basically like, but you hate this. You just hate it. And you are happy when you are teaching or when you are doing music. So if you go back to school, maybe you should do that. And then we ended up uprooting our family and causing all kinds of commotion and moved back to Utah, where I got a master's degree in choral conducting, and then ended up starting my teaching career. So all of that, and part of my faith journey and coming to Community of Christ also has to do with during this decade, or, you know, during this time that I'm very much a secular humanist, I'm experiencing a lot of religion. Like, I worked a lot as a liturgical musician. And so we have the Cathedral of the Madeleine here in Salt Lake City that is absolutely stunning. I'm sure you know it. And they have a just world-class music program there. They have a choir school that is attached to the cathedral, where it's a wonderful education for preschool through middle school children. And the children are training to be choristers to provide music for worship. And then they hire professional singers to do the low parts that the children can't do. And so I did a lot of work in their choirs as a cantor. I taught full-time in the school for a number of years. I loved that experience, and I experienced religion in a different way there. It was it's a beautiful community, and they are just, I mean, I cherish those people. And then I also bounced around to, you know, I'd have a friend call who is the director of choirs at the Methodist Church and say, hey, my bass can't sing this week. Can you come fill in? Or a friend who's the director of choirs at the Presbyterian Church. And so I'm seeing all of these different things and places. And so it's not like I'm not experiencing religion. I feel like I'm actually experiencing a lot of religion. And none of it felt like something that I was like, there was part of me that was really drawn to community through all of that, and also drawn to a sense of, like, the sense of wonder and the sense of the gospel of the least of these is the thing that is just kind of the through, the line that kind of moves through everything. And I couldn't find anything that felt like the right thing to do for me. Around the time of the last presidential election, I think, like a lot of people, was just I put a lot of time and effort and money into focusing on the national election. A lot of that was online. I'm in all these online communities that are talking about that are basically bubbles. And then I was both shocked and dismayed at the outcome, and particularly at vulnerable people not being safe, and at the idea that some kind of plurality of my society said this seems like a valid trade-off, and this seems like it's okay to, and even just the vilification of trans people and autistic people. And I mean, and I've got I have a trans son, I have a daughter who is autistic and also asexual, and so I'm seeing like my kids and other people who I are just so dear and close to me, and who and I feel like part of my job is not just as a dad, but just as like a decent person in society, is to protect them. And then the result happened, and it's ended up being in many ways more horrific than I even worried. And I felt this desperate need to of like, this online thing is not working. It is not, I cannot exist in this bubble where I'm constantly reinforced in what I'm already thinking, and where everything seems so crystal clear to me. And there's obviously people who feel differently. There's obviously a lot of people who feel differently, and I'm not around them. I'm not around anybody. I'm not around any people, outside of work, which is a very non-political environment. Outside of, I'm not in any environment where I might be interacting with other people who, and I also couldn't, I kind of couldn't handle just seeing everything by myself. Like, I need to be with people where I can take this in and not be by myself, because I'm completely overwhelmed. And I need to be with people who are doing things like showing up at soup kitchens, or doing, who are doing actual boots on the ground work, and not just like posting something pithy about, here's why I think this is terrible. And so early December of last year, Heather took the day off church, because I said, I want to go check out Community of Christ. And the things that drew me to Community of Christ more than anything was this sense that I knew enough to know that this was a church and a people that knew what it meant to start over, and that knew what it meant to have to kind of wake up one day and find that the world is different than what I thought it was, and have to find a way to move forward, which I also relate very much to early Christianity, that there's people after they did not expect the crucifixion, and they're all standing around staring at each other like, what are we going to do now? And I don't think that the early restoration movement, they certainly didn't expect Joseph and Hiram to be murdered, and then for the movement to fracture, and for all these things to happen, and then this sense of, what are we going to do now? And then I didn't know as much as I know now, but I had the sense too that when Community of Christ had kind of looked at hard things in its own history, and been willing to look at hard things as far as like, maybe we're not treating everyone the way that God would want us to treat everyone, and that the church paid a price to put that right, or to, or to at least really try to move in the direction. I mean, we're all, there's no such thing as arrival. But the fact that the church lost so many members because they were willing to stand up with people who were being cut out in a way that was unacceptable to God. And I feel like I have a lot of space for both people and institutions. For I've come to believe that the whole paradigm of perfection is just a flawed concept, that there's no such thing. I was working with a therapist who said, I was like, I really always wanted to be the perfect father. And she was like, let's pause for a second. What is that? What can you do? What is that even? And it was like this revelation of like, there's clearly no such thing as that. Not just it is a thing and people don't quite achieve it. There's literally no such thing. It's not something that could exist. But anyway, and I'm sorry, I kind of got sidetracked. But I feel like, but I was drawn to Community of Christ because I was like, these are people who know how to be real, and these are people who are willing to do the work. And so Heather and I walked in, and as we walked into the sanctuary, the 15-foot tall Christmas tree was falling on some of the people who were setting it up. And they were and they looked back and they were like, you're tall, come grab this. And so and Heather and I ran up and helped steady the Christmas tree and helped put it up. And that was our introduction to Community of Christ. And we sat through, and Laura, who I think was preaching that day, and she gave her the sermon was on joy as a method of resistance. And it was exactly what I needed in that moment, including being able to look around and say, this is not a community that looks like they're trying to make everything look perfect. The Christmas tree just fell over, and all of that for me, I was like, yes, please, these are my people. And I came back the next week, and the and introduced myself in Sunday school and said, well, I'm here because I need to be around people, and I don't really believe anything, but I know that people are important, and I know that I need to be around people. And Courtney, the Sunday school teacher, was like, she said, yeah, I can relate to all of that, and I think a lot of us can. And then, sorry, this is emotional for me. This is a really special family in the congregation that has become really dear to me. That is Marianne and her two daughters, Haley and Phoebe. And little Phoebe was not quite walking yet. Marianne's husband, Stephen, has since passed away. But this was, I was just meeting them, and I really like babies, and I'm good with I'm not to tout myself or whatever, but I'm actually really quite good with kids and with babies. And so Phoebe was fussy, and I just said, hey, can I take Phoebe for a minute? And Phoebe fell asleep in my arms while I kind of walked around in the back of the church. And week after week, And then I started playing the piano for for some of the meetings, and it was like just week after week after week, where I just felt like I'm not sure what's going on here. I have no concept of their being a, I'm not even seeking truth. I am seeking goodness, and I'm seeking connection. And I'm not sure that I really understand what's going on here entirely, but I know that it's sacred. And I know that if there is a God, that this is what God would want community to look like. And so and I remember the Sunday a few months ago, I was already feeling like it was the first time in my life that I looked forward to, I look forward to going to church every week. And it feels bizarre, Robin. I don't know. I've never had this experience before of like, I actually, it's like, wait, when is Sunday? When do I get to go again? And so and I already felt like I'm just kind of here. It's like I wandered in the door and feel like and I just have this sense of like, I'm sorry, I hope this isn't weird for everybody, but I kind of just wandered in and I'm just staying here. And and so and I felt like internally that had already happened. And I can tell you, I had never, there were some things I was never going to do, and join a church is one of them. And I just had this sense of like, well, no, this has already kind of happened in my heart. This is, and I know for, and it's funny because for Mormonism, my process has been very slow. We had a period of time in when I was a missionary that the mission president had this idea, and we went on this thing where we were trying to find, teach, and baptize people within 24 hours. Like, let's make this happen really fast. Get them, and that's unusually fast even for Mormonism, but 2 weeks is not at all fast. That's like, and 3 months is kind of like, well, I don't know, it's taking kind of a long time. And so I'm like 6 months into attending and feeling like I have to just acknowledge like, oh, I'm already here. Like, this is just where I am. And this is where I plan to be. I mean, I can't predict the future, but I don't see not being here. And then Brittany, who is brilliant and wonderful, gave a sermon where she, one of the things that she talked about was the pressures on people who are left on the fringes or left outside or discriminated against or made to feel less than and all these things. And she said, not here. That's why we're here, because not here. That will not happen here. And I went home that day and said, and was like, Heth, I don't want to freak you out. I hope this isn't weird for you. I don't know what this will be like for you, but I think I want to like actually join this church. And she was like, so I'm not surprised at all. That doesn't surprise me at all. I 100, 1 million percent support you in this. Heather attends with me occasionally. She loves Community of Christ people, and they love her. And so, yeah, so then I was, and I, yeah, I was baptized like, geez, less than 2 weeks ago. And here I am.
A beautiful story. And welcome. We're so happy to have you with us.
Thank you.
And of course, you already know that that welcome is, we're happy to have you with us no matter where you are on the journey. And it does not hinge on whether or not you choose to be baptized and confirmed in community of Christ.
I know that's the thing that is weird to me. It's like, it's so, this is so like different from the paradigm that I was raised with. If I went in, if I went in next week and said, "Hey, I've decided I don't want to do this anymore," one thing I know for sure is that it would not diminish me in anybody's eyes. There might be people who would miss me or who would feel like, "Oh, we liked it when Matt was here," or whatever. But there would be no sense of like judgment or of whatever. And Brittany, when I said, "Hey, I think I want to do this," was like, "Hey, just so you know, if the morning of you're like, 'Hey, I've changed my mind, I don't want to do this,' that's a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And you could attend here forever and never join, and that would also be fine. And so just know this is not, you know, anyway." So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. So, as you well know, faith is a lifelong journey. I mean, it just is our whole life. So, what were or are some of the challenges for you as you live into this new faith tradition, which is really a distinctly different path in the restoration movement?
It is. It is. And I think Heather and I were talking about this last night, where I said the analogy that I came up with is like, if you've been eating broccoli your whole life, but every time somebody served it to you, something that you couldn't, didn't change the flavor, didn't change the appearance, didn't, you know, whatever, but made you sick, was sprinkled on the broccoli every time you ate it for your whole life. And then somebody later says, "Hey, there is such a thing as healthy broccoli that doesn't have that stuff sprinkled on it. And there's these wonderful ways to prepare it. And it's really delightful. And you're going to love it." It's difficult to eat broccoli. It is not like, and so for me, I still find a lot of church language quite triggering. I still find, I have a constant kind of reframing of things that happens in my mind when we're using religious language or talking about religious things, that I have to just constantly say, "Wait, it doesn't mean this. It means this. This is the, you know, this is what we're actually talking about." But that kind of, I don't know if you want to call it a trauma response or whatever, but that's real, and it's frequent, and it's definitely part of the process.
So I'm taking notes the whole time, even though I know we're going to have a transcript and I can read and study it. But as you're talking, what you're saying is just so critically important to where we find ourselves as community of Christ on this journey of faith. And what you're doing, and you know how to do well, is to reinterpret, reframe, and speak clearly, not just to your own heart of what you need to hear in order for it to make sense or connect or come into some sense of understanding that's helpful and purposeful, but you're learning how to do that for other people that have been hurt in a similar way. And so I just want you to know I'll be calling you to help us with some things
Oh.
because I truly believe Community of Christ is not perfect, and we have been on an incredible journey, and we do have something to say to the world, and we can offer safe space for people who need what we have to share, and we can learn and grow together. So I really appreciate that insight and that gift. I mean, you're very gifted, and those gifts are serving you well and will continue to bless others along the way. So, Matt, was there anything you had to give up that was difficult for you to let go of?
Yeah, I think that the this is both a I recognize that there's grieving that comes with this, but it's wonderful grieving at the same time and necessary that, and it is the sense that what I am doing and me and what I am part of is the center of the universe, is the most important thing happening in the world and is more important than anything else. There's a lot of that's heady stuff. And it is, and when your identity is attached to that, and especially as a man in the church, where at age 12, I'm told repeatedly, you have more authority than the Pope. You are real, that is fake. This is, you know, you are, and you are the most important thing happening in the world, is very different from there's something that there's loss attached to, like, oh wait, I'm just a regular guy. And I'm working with a bunch of regular people, and I don't have to be in charge of anything. And what we're doing is good, but it's just one thing. And other people are doing really great things, and we can probably learn a lot from them. And we don't need to, you know, we don't need to tear anybody down to make ourselves bigger. We don't need to, you know, any of that. It's wonderful, it's necessary, and there's loss associated with that.
Yeah, change is hard, even positive change.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Matt, as you walk with church members and friends and new seekers, what do you see people looking for in their church or their faith experience? I mean, what connects for them in meaningful ways as they choose to journey with or spend time with Community of Christ? In a sense, what are the really big life questions that you're hearing from people today?
I hear people searching for belonging and searching for community and searching for connection. And it's not just connection, it is connection internally, it's connection with the divine, whatever that means to different people. It's connection to community, it's connection within families. It's, I feel like all of that, it's, whatever God is, and I and this is where, like, religious language just it kind of doesn't work for me, because anytime I use the word God, it's like I have to just, like, remind myself I'm not talking anthropomorphic, perfected human, whatever. No, I mean, I'm talking about something that I will never understand, and that I will never really that I feel like. That I feel like I just catch glimpses of. But the glimpses are in the spaces between the people. And the glimpses are in the dance that happens as people are trying to find their place and meet each other's needs, and just be there for one another in a way that doesn't hurt people. That and I feel like people are craving that, and I think they are craving the idea that it can be religious without being told that it has to be. You know, there are people for whom the broccoli is never going to work. And I think I feel this really strong desire to celebrate those people and say, you go, you eat the stuff that works for you. I am so happy. And I'm not saying broccoli is better. I'm just saying I've found a recipe that I really like.
I love that analogy. It's just
And so,
great.
oh, thanks. You know, yeah, but I feel like people are craving this sense of, I'm finding it really, and it's weird, because I hate, and I'm sorry to use, like, a really strong word, but I hate missionary work. And at the same time, I find myself constantly talking with people about Community of Christ, which is weird, but it's never because I'm trying to convert anybody or trying to draw anybody in. It's just like, I do want people to know, I want people to know that this exists. I want them to know who we are. And I want them to know that communities like this can exist. And people that this doesn't work for, I have every hope that, and there's so many that it's like, oh my gosh, so many people are doing so many great things. And I feel like I can connect with them without having to change anybody, without, you know, there's all of this space for that.
There is. What are your hopes for a community of Christ? And I think, I'm hearing hopes for a community of Christ threaded through so much of what you're sharing. How would you articulate today your hopes for a community of Christ?
I think what I'm hoping, it was a lot of conversations in the Salt Lake congregation happening right now about, because there's always going to be this stream of people who are deconstructing religion and who are kind of these traumatized religious refugees who a lot of them just need a moment of like, no, you're okay, and then they'll never come again, and that's okay. And then other people who are really trying to find community and rebuild that and reclaim a spiritual part of their life. I think it's always going to be part of what happens in Salt Lake. We're having a lot of conversations about what else. And I think that what else conversation is amazing, of like, how else can we show up in the world in a way that makes a difference, in a way that helps to make the world a better place. I love, I know you know Andrew Markle, and he and I drove to a few things together, and he's become a dear friend. And I remember him saying at one point, he was like, I'm not 100% sure that we believe in an afterlife. We probably do, but we just never talk about it. That's not the focus. The focus is now. The focus is what could we do now to make the world a better place. I love that, and I'm completely excited about how do we grow into what that can be.
Thank you so much, Matt, for those words. This next question I want to ask is, what do you need community of Christ to hear you say?
I'm not sure. I'm so new that there's so much that I feel like definitely still kind of just getting a sense of the church that is beyond my congregation. I think all I would say is that I think we're wonderful, and I think we're enough. And I'm excited to see where we go.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you today that you would like to share with our listeners?
I don't think so. I think I've been, I mean, who knows? I'll think of something after we get off, but I've in all of my little wanderings and tangents, I think I've caught everything that I was hoping to talk about.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for being with us here today, Matt. It has been a joy and an honor to spend time with you today and to hear your story. And I just want to highlight something that you said that I want to make sure our listeners didn't miss. And that's when you said, "I'm not seeking truth. I'm seeking goodness and connection. And I'm not sure what's going on here in community of Christ, but it is sacred." Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Robin.
And a very special thanks to all of you, our listeners. If you would like to hear more from courageous people willing to share their candid stories of their faith journeys and what brought them to Community of Christ, check out our Fair Trade series on ProjectZionPodcast.org. You can find that on the series drop-down menu on the top bar of our website, or you can click on the link listed in today's show notes, which will take you to all of our Fair Trade episodes. This is your host, Robin Linkhart, and you are listening to Project Zion Podcast. Go out and make the world a better place. Take good care. Bye-bye.